From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today, history is being written in Lansing.
Let the workers got to go!
Union demonstrators rally as right-to-work bills speed through the State House and Senate, and Governor Snyder is ready to sign.
It's relatively straightforward. It's about being pro-worker. It's about giving workers the freedom to choose, first of all. And then secondly, it's about bringing more and better jobs to Michigan.
We'll get the latest news from inside and outside the state capitol. And thoughts about Governor Snyder from UAW President Bob King.
How do you trust somebody who says he doesn't want to do this for 2.5 years and then flips and does it?
Those stories and much, much more today on Stateside. But first, the news. Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty on what is truly a landmark day in Michigan. With votes today by the State House, Michigan is now poised to become the nation's 24th so-called right-to-work state. The legislation now goes to Governor Rick Snyder. He says he will sign the bills into law. On today's show, we speak with Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers, and we'll take the temperature of Michiganders. Are we ready for right to work? But first, we begin inside the Capitol building. Michigan Public Radio's Rick Pluta is there. Rick, where are you right now, and what's the latest?
Right now, I'm on the ground floor of the state capitol. The House voted earlier today to send the two bills that will make up Michigan's new right-to-work law to Governor Rick Snyder. And as we all know, he said last week that he would sign them. The debating has been fierce here. It's been fierce inside the Capitol. It's been fierce inside the House. It's been fierce outside on the Capitol lawn, where we have seen some clashes between right-to-work supporters and union opponents. So now the next step is the people who oppose this are hoping that Governor Snyder will veto it, but that is probably a futile hope.
And Rick, how quickly is Governor Snyder expected to sign this? Is there a waiting period, or could he just go ahead and do it?
There is no waiting period. As soon as the bill is officially presented to him, he can sign it right then. We don't expect it today, but that doesn't mean that we won't see it today.
Now, you talked about this atmosphere inside the chamber, and we've been hearing about demonstrators pro and con outside. Talk to us a little more about what was going on both sides with the lawmakers.
You know, this is typically, you know, kind of a maudlin time of year. People deliver term-limited lawmakers delivering farewell speeches. This was very tense. People were angry. There was a sense of betrayal, not just with the fact that this issue was taken up, but by how it was done, that it was introduced and rolled out very quickly. There were no public hearings. There was no public comment. That there's a codicil that's tucked into it that makes it a spending bill, which means that it's immune to a voter referendum, like the one that was used to topple the state's emergency manager law, which doesn't mean, you know, that unions and Democrats aren't, you know, pondering their other options when it comes to opposing this.
Was there much speechifying as debate and deliberations went on?
Yes, as much as the result was ordained, there was a lot of time spent talking about it, and there were amendments proposed. They were either ignored by the Republican majority or they were quickly voted down.
Were there protesters inside the chamber, or were they kept in the rotunda?
No. Protesters never made their way inside the chamber. Some were in the rotunda. Some were in the lobby outside the House chamber. You could hear them chanting as you were standing inside the chamber while the debate was going on. From time to time, people who were sitting in the visitors gallery did applaud, and you know, were admonished not to. But you know, this is a pretty emotional issue.
I would suspect, in all of your time covering Lansing and covering what's going on at the Capitol, this one must be one for the record books.
Absolutely. If I've ever seen anything, you know, quite this big and dramatic, I can't remember what it was.
Rick Pluta reporting live from the Capitol. Thanks for that, Rick.
No, my pleasure, Cindy.
Let's turn now to Michigan Radio's Steve Carmody. Steve, you've been outside the Capitol all day long. What's going on right now?
Well, the union members have moved from the Capitol grounds across the street to the George M. Romney building. That's where the governor's offices are. And so they're now focusing their attentions on the governor and their desire that he veto the right-to-work bills.
I've seen reports, and are these true, that sleeping bags have been brought and they're going to be parked there for a while?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very large crowd. The state troopers went in riot gear to clear out a path to get, you know, to clear out the entrance to the Romney building. Two union members were arrested for resisting arrest, and they're now facing a two-year felony if they end up being convicted of anything. At this point, the protesters are still blocking the building, though the entrance to the building has been cleared by the state police.
How is the atmosphere, or has the atmosphere, changed through the day, starting with early this morning and then as the votes were actually done? Could you see a change in the feeling?
Well, early on, there was a lot of optimism in the crowd. It was a very upbeat, very positive crowd. They came here to accomplish something. As the realization that wasn't going to happen and that the legislature was going to vote in favor of these bills, the mood soured a little bit. We saw some confrontations between union members and individuals who were here to support right to work. Then things kind of calmed down a little bit. But since the protest has shifted across the street to the Romney building, tensions are ticking back up again. The entire Capitol grounds at one point was completely covered, as well as streets to the east and further from the Capitol building. So there is a lot of activity going on all around this part of downtown Lansing.
Now, you mentioned confrontations between union demonstrators and folks who are pro-right to work. We heard a tent belonging to the Americans for Prosperity was torn down by the anti-right to work demonstrators. Any other destruction you saw?
Well, that's the only bit of destruction I've actually seen. I was there when they started tearing down that tent. Standing next to a couple of union men, and they said, well, this tent wasn't put up by union men, so it should be taken down by union men, at which point they started taking the poles out. The people on the inside, the Americans for Prosperity, were unaware that the tent was coming down until it fell down on top of them. Then the union people started walking on the tent while the pro-right-to-work people were still inside of it. So there were a lot of disheveled right-to-work supporters who came out from under the tent. When they did, they were confronted by very angry union members. A lot of words were exchanged, but that was about all.
And finally, Steve, the mood between the protesters and police, how has that been?
It has been growing, I would say, more tense as the day has gone along. Early on, the police were kind of standing back. They were in regular uniforms. But as the day has gone on, the state police have been showing more and more of their riot gear. And right now there is a line of state police troopers in full riot gear cordoning off protesters from the exterior of the Romney building. And the sheriff's horse patrol has been making its way through the crowd to kind of push it along as well. So there's been a lot of name-calling to the police, and the police have done what they could to keep the crowd under control. But obviously there's more tension now than there was earlier today.
Michigan Radio's Steve Carmody outside the state capitol. Thanks so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
And now let's turn to Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton. She's been digging into the economies of other right-to-work states. And Tracy, one of the things we've been hearing from Governor Snyder is he looked to Indiana, that first Midwest state to go right-to-work, and saw the benefits.
I believe this will bring jobs, and that's where I look to Indiana, where they literally can show companies that cited this as a factor in their decision to come that are bringing thousands of good jobs to that state.
So, Tracy, good jobs coming to Michigan. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, we're relying on what the Indiana Economic Development Corporation says. They have this long laundry list of companies that have set up as soon as they passed right to work. The problem is they only passed this law in March.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidelines for the law didn't even go into effect until August. So we're talking September, October, November, all this amazing economic development that's been going on. That's pretty fast work.
Yes.
So I spoke to Gordon Lafer. He's a professor of economics at the University of Oregon, and he looked at every single example Indiana's putting out there as proof that this right to work law is kind of a job magnet.
It would be amazing if it were true, but from what you can see, this meaning from like the actual data put out by the State of Indiana Economic Development Commission, there's no basis for the kind of claims being made.
And in fact, the one company that the state of Indiana put out in a press release as saying right to work, mm-hmm, actually was the deciding factor. They said Actually, we never said that. And they said it was not true.
Not true.
Mm-hmm. Most of these companies were already in Indiana, already planning to expand there.
All right. So where can we look to for whether right to work makes a state really more attractive to businesses?
Lafer says we need to look at the state of Oklahoma, which has had a right to work for legislation for a law for about 10 years. And back then when they were debating this, the legislators were saying we're going to see an 8 to 10-fold increase in interest from outside companies if we pass this. But in fact, in 10 years, the number of new companies setting up shop in Oklahoma actually fell by a third.
So the experience in Oklahoma is very, very clear that the kind of predictions made, which are the same predictions now being made about Michigan, which is you're going to be a jobs magnet, turned out to be utterly false. And this is not by me. This is by the state's own data.
So according to Professor Lafer, and he is with the University of Oregon,
yes.
So he is an impassionate observer, what does right to work really do?
Well, he says it does attract companies that are primarily interested in the bottom line. We want low labor costs, low wage, low skilled types of jobs. Those kinds of companies might be more interested in coming here, but he says even that's not necessarily a good thing. It's a job, but these companies aren't making very much. These people aren't mm-hmm. making very much money. They often don't have health insurance. They don't have the kind of buying power that we need to make our whole economy work better. So it's not necessarily just a gain.
Tracy, thanks for that report.
You're welcome.
That's Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton. Okay, so we just heard UAW President Bob King point a finger of blame at ALEC, the Koch brothers, and Michigan's DeVos family, claiming they're pushing right to work. Michigan Radio investigative reporter Lester Graham has reported on both ALEC and the Koch brothers, and we turn to him now to learn a little more about what's going on here. Lester, let's start with ALEC. Just who or what is the American Legislative Exchange Council?
Well, basically, it's supposed to be a group of legislators from different state capitals who get together and they pay dues to get into this group. But actually, that's not where their money comes from. Their money comes from Exxon and the Koch charitable foundations. And basically, what they do is they put together model legislation to use throughout the United States that will benefit major corporations or conservative principles or libertarian principles. So these groups like Exxon, like the Koch industry folks, like Big Pharma will get together and say, This is the boilerplate language. Now, you could tweak it a little bit for your unique circumstances in your state, but this is what we want you to pass. And that's what they work to do. Then with the Americans for Prosperity, like the Americans for Prosperity chapter in Michigan, they work to make sure that this gets pushed through. And they, you know, dine and wine these legislators. And if that doesn't work, if the sweetness doesn't work, they threaten them with more conservative candidates in the primaries.
Meaning we can take you out next election.
Right, exactly.
Now, do we have any idea how many Michigan legislators are members of ALEC?
I do not know how many members are members of ALEC. I do know that Senator Michael Green is the chair for Michigan. I do know that even those who are resistant to ALEC basically have to take them seriously because they will go after them. We saw that happen with Fred Upton, the congressman from the southwest part of the state. Fred Upton was challenged by Jack Hogendyke, who happens to be closely related to Scott Hagerstrom, who's with Americans for Prosperity. Scott Hagerstrom used to be his aide. So you see these groups and these people working together and using a lot of money from the Koch brothers to make sure that they get what they want. So it's a nice little funding package with big industry, big corporate America funding ALEC, and then Americans for Prosperity getting funding from some of those same sources and different sources. They work together to put the pressure on these legislators to make sure that they get the legislation they want in a state like Michigan.
And in a sense, with the manufactured legislation, you have unelected people really, if it gets passed, setting policy.
Well, keep in mind, these people are still our elected representatives. Who they're influenced by is part of the system. We elect them. They pass these laws on behalf of the big corporate America. Hopefully, we get thought of in the process.
Lester, thanks very much.
Certainly.
Michigan Radio's Lester Graham is with Michigan Watch.